I'm Bonnie Fenton. Welcome to Mobility Planet, the podcast where we discuss new trends and open questions in today's world of sustainable mobility.
Hi, and I'm Anushka Strunten. Bonnie and I are from Ruprecht Consult. It's a consultancy based in Cologne in Germany, and we're working to make mobility better for both people and the planet.
And Anushka and I are currently working on a project on urban vehicle access regulations. And basically, that means ways to reduce car access to parts of cities to make them cleaner, safer, and more attractive for people.
So what that means is reduce car access in cities with different methods. So some of these methods could be pedestrian zones or super blocks, could also be bicycle streets or zones in which only certain vehicles are allowed in. So this could be electric vehicles in a zero emission zone, for example.
But there are, of course, questions. For example, how do we make sure that someone in a hybrid car is in electric mode inside a zero emission zone? Would anybody ever know?
Yeah, well, usually people are informed through road signs, right? So when they enter a special zone, the road signs informs them about it. But as we know, there's no international agreement on these visualizations for low emission zones, for instance. So it can be very confusing for drivers. And with geofencing, this could be different. But I wonder if our listeners have already heard about geofencing.
Good question. So for anyone who has ever used a shared bike or e-scooter, those generally use a geofence to keep you in the zone. So you'll likely receive a notification with a warning or maybe even a financial penalty if you try to end your ride outside of the legal zone. For people who like definitions, we've checked with Oxford Dictionary and they say a geofence is a virtual geographic boundary defined by GPS or radio frequency ID technology, so RFID, and it enables software to trigger a response when a mobile device enters or leaves a particular area.
Triggering a response, right? So for our topic of regulating vehicle access, we can use the example of the hybrid vehicles that switches from combustion engine to electric mode. So the zero emission zone is a geofenced area. And for example, the city can be notified when the combustion motors are running in this area, and then they can issue a fine for the driver, or the vehicle is just notified and switches the engine automatically.
Exactly. But geofencing doesn't just work for pollution reduction. It can also be used to keep speeds down. But maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves. We can talk about the examples of geofencing for reducing emissions, and then we can talk afterwards about speed reduction.
Okay, yes, because we have several great guests today from Sweden to the Netherlands who will explain to us more of the functioning and advantages of geofencing for sustainable mobility. So in Sweden, we talked to Josephine Darlington and Rodrigue Alfael from the Lindholmen Science Park in Gothenburg. They are both working on a project that is called Closer, and this project looks at different possible uses of geofences. So they look at zero emission zones, speed adaptation zones, access restrictions, and even noise reduction.
For today's episode, we asked them about how geofencing is used to create a zero emission zone. And Lindholmen Science Park is working on a geofencing pilot for a public bus line, where the bus can automatically reduce speeds and switch to electric mode when it enters the zone. And we're going to hear from Josephine and Rodrigue from Gothenburg about using geofencing for public buses.
When the vehicle enters the zone, either the speed would be limited or adapted to a lower speed. And then it is also possible to go from an emission powertrain to an electric powertrain. And you also saw in the roundabout, it's possible to then give way or give an exemption from certain rules in the area and enable access for particular areas with vehicles that are restricted through geofencing conditions. There are several ways to get geofencing in the vehicles to work in different ways. But the current way that has been demonstrated in Sweden is that first off, there is a zone and a number of set characteristics which are defined by a responsible authority. So in this case, it could be the city of Gothenburg, the city of Stockholm, or the Swedish Transport Administration. Further on, these zones and the characteristics would then be sent to the vehicle provider or the OEM, which then downloads the information into the vehicle. So that's how it's currently been done, but it's then also a possibility in the future then to send it digitally and with a shorter time frame. Further on then, using GNS technology that you can find in the vehicle will perceive what type of characteristics it needs to adapt to when it enters the zone or when it starts getting close to the zone. So it then reacts and, for example, changes its powertrain.
I can also tell you that there have been a few interviews with the drivers, and at the beginning we were a little bit worried that how will they react. And actually what we found out that in general they found actually less stress when there is geofencing, because it's outside their own control, and usually they can feel stressed because they are in a hurry. They don't want to get the fee if they are too slow, so they put the gas on a little bit too much. And in this case, there have been some exemptions on this rule, and they see that they feel that as a positive thing.
So if you were wondering, GNSS is the abbreviation for Global Navigation Satellite System. So it includes all positioning systems. It's also known as GPS.
Exactly. Thanks for clarifying that. I have to say, I found it really interesting to hear from professional drivers that geofencing was a relief for them and that it gives them one less thing to worry about when they're driving.
And geofencing is not only there to switch engines and zones, but actually also to control the speed. So that's even more important in future with more and more 30 kilometer per hour zones in cities.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm thinking now electric vehicle technology is moving ahead so quickly that it's possible that this idea of switching the hybrid car into electric mode might not even be necessary as a use for geofencing, but certainly the speed control would be. So I take your point on that. And as the driver in Sweden said, there are so many things to pay attention to when you're driving. Why not let technology keep an eye on the speed so the driver can pay attention to the road?
Cruise control seems very clever, but I also have to mention that at least in Germany, it is really disputed also. Technology being allowed to intervene, it goes along with the German fear, you could almost say, of sacrificing control for the sake of safety, if that makes sense.
Well, it doesn't really make sense to me, but I have to say, when you think about it, that's what automated vehicles are supposed to do. But for now, maybe a geofence is sort of a step on that way. In combination with a device in your vehicle, the geofence would likely just give you a warning that you're going above the posted speed limit. So that's to say, the geofenced area knows how fast your car is allowed to go, and it conveys that information to you and to your vehicle.
Yes, it's a work in progress, but also being tested in some places already. So the next example we will speak about is Helmond, a small city in the south of Netherlands, and they are already testing intelligent speed assistance. It's also called ISA in short. So ISA is there to slow down and control speed limits in certain areas of the city.
Right. ISA is a device that's installed in cars, and it lets you know when you're going too fast. Of course, that means that the device has to know what the speed limit is. And right now, Helmond is testing it on a single stretch of road. It's 5.8 kilometers long. But in the future, an entire area could be geofenced, and the area would then communicate to an ISA-equipped car about the speed limit. So your car knows how fast it's allowed to go anywhere in that area.
And also, what most people might not know yet, this ISA intelligent speed assistance is coming to all new cars in the EU. So by 2024, actually, all new sold cars are obliged to have it installed. And every driver in the EU will know ISA soon.
Yeah, exactly. But we don't need to wait until all cars are equipped with it before it has an effect. After all, if enough cars on the road are going the speed limit, it makes it much harder for the rest of the cars to go too fast.
Okay, so it's like a natural speed control. As we said, the city of Helmond is piloting this, And we talked to Mathieu Grandoche from the city of Helmand and Stephen Herskamp from a company called Vitron to find out all about their experience with ISO so far. But I will let them introduce themselves in more detail. We started out by asking them about their geofencing project.
My name is Mathieu Grandoche. I'm a manager in the smart and green mobility projects and for the city of Helmand. Actually, Helmand is a small size city in the Netherlands. And one of the specificity we have is that we really try to connect the mobility agenda with the economic one, not only from a policy perspective, but in a very concrete manner through projects. And the engagement of the business community has been a key aspect for our project. And notably, we aim at bridging the gap between the automotive world and the mobility one, and using innovation and power of technology to improve in a sustainable way mobility and road safety. And this is why the cooperation with Vitron on ISA in Reveal is important for us.
And yes, my name is Steven Herskamp, and I am a project manager for ISA at Vitron. Vitron can best be described as an in-car service provider. So that means that we deliver systems that can assist the driver in the vehicle while driving. These are a lot of different systems, and within the Reveal project, we develop ISA, which is an intelligent speed assistance that helps you to keep to the speed limits. And this is also why we support Helmand in this case, because Helmand is very interested in ISA and wants to implement this in their city.
Thank you. This is very interesting. Tell us more about why and how Helmand is part of the European project Reveal, short for Regulating Vehicle Access for More Attractive and Livable Cities. And of course, we want to learn all about geofencing now.
We believe that urban vehicle access regulations, which consist actually of a lot of various tools that are available or that needs to be given to the cities, will be key for the livability of cities in the near future. That's why we are involved in Reveal. And Helmand has been developing a new district that is called Brainport Smart District. This district aims to be a living lab, a place where new mobility concepts, but not only energy concepts, health concepts, and housing solutions are explored and tested on the ground. So through Reveal, our ultimate ambition is to make Brainport Smart District a zero-emission zone, where pedestrians and cyclists are placed at the heart of the day-to-day life. But we also intend to develop a safe district and a people-friendly environment. So this is why one of our actions in Reveal is also to test intelligent speed assistance technology with the idea of fostering its deployment throughout the city later. So thanks to Reveal project, we carried out already a test last July in the nearby district of Brainport Smart District, which is called Brandewoort.
Yes, and maybe it's good for me to dive into your question about geofencing, because geofencing is a tool we can use for ISA, but currently we don't use it yet. The system we use in the vehicles are not used in a specific zone, but we can use the system on all public roads. So there's not a certified zone that we can use the system in. That's because the system currently uses a smart camera that scans the speed signs, and it can do it on all the roads. An additional validation method with a digital map is currently being developed. And this digital map can be used to draw in geofences and also to use different speeds in different zones. Yeah, the ISA system can use this information from the digital map and from the smart camera. So in the future, geofencing in combination with ISA can be therefore a very useful tool And it can also be used by road authorities to improve traffic management and their safety that they want to implement in their cities.
Okay, so far there's no geofencing in Helmand, but you have the ISA. Can you maybe explain a little bit, Stephen, what is the difference between the two technologies?
Geofencing is a method to just certify a certain measure in a zone, and we can use geofencing within ISA, but at the moment ISA is working in every zone. And in the future, we really want to use geofencing with ISA in a combination to use it, for example, nearby a school, that during the hours that the schools are out, the speed is maybe a little bit lower than the maximum speed. And that's why geofencing can be a good tool for ISA. In certain zones, we want to have a lower speed than the maximum speed.
So that means that the reduction of speed limit results in improved road safety in the case of the Helmand pilot project. What other benefits do you see, especially for the people who live in the area? I mean, safety is already a major one.
Yes, I think that safety definitely is the main benefit, because we need to be aware that 25,000 people are killed on European roads each year, and many more injured. So, and some studies found that ISA was the most effective driver assistance systems for preventing collisions that do kill these people on the road. So they think it would prevent 20% of the fatal accidents. So as a local authority, we are in a position to contribute to this improvement. And it is important as a city to protect our citizens, and notably the youngest and the most vulnerable ones. I mean, like the children around the schools that Stephen just evoked. So furthermore, if ISA is largely deployed, it would probably help reduce the costs of the infrastructures that are currently built to reduce the speed in the city, like the speed bumps. That may be also an issue for other kind of vehicles, like emergency vehicles, and that are not really pretty in our city. It would reduce the cost for the maintenance, some costs for the enforcement. So we believe that there are benefits in general in implementing and deploy quite widely this ISA system.
Very impressive numbers of how much impact this has, I find. Besides all the benefits for especially the road safety, are there any big challenges you're facing during your tests with this ISA pilot?
Yes. One of the biggest challenges that we see for the technology itself is that it is important to get like a harmonized data source. So yeah, to achieve a successful ISA, it is really important that ISA systems use the same data source, because there are a lot of different suppliers starting to enter the market now, and they all use a different data source. So that means that one system maybe is calibrated at 50 kilometers an hour, and another system is calibrated at 55 kilometers an hour, which can be which can have an impact on the road, because then drivers are expecting different behavior from one and another, and then, it can be really disturbing to drive with the ISA technology. So harmonization is really a major challenge for ISA. And in addition, an harmonized data source could offer many opportunities for road authorities, because if they have an influence, they can also use the data source to implement their own speeds. For example, what I told you around the schools, if they can use one data source to put certain geofences in, that will help them a lot. So that gives them a chance to improve their traffic management. So that's a big challenge, at least at the technical part of ISA.
I really believe that an evolution of the standards and of the legal framework is needed to have a strong deployment. And this is crucial for a definitive shift. Up to now, actually, manufacturers and buyers can choose to have ISA already on board or not. There are some models that are that do equip vehicles, but and even when ISA exists, this option is not used by the manufacturers as a selling argument usually. So furthermore, the people, the drivers themselves, that have the car equipped with ISA are often not enough aware of this feature, and many of them do not activate it, even if it's included in the car. So this is why, for a generalization to be effective, there is a need that the system is on by default in the car for all the cars or for most of the cars. But I believe that we can already act. You know that ISA will be mandated in new cars by 2022, but it may take up to a decade, we believe, to have it in all vehicles or in most of the vehicles. So this is why the city of Helmond, together with other stakeholders, need to continue to raise awareness of the citizens of what, and to let them know that ISA solutions already exist and can already save life. We need to insist on the benefits in terms of safety and comfort for the drivers, and we need to let them know that it is possible to retrofit their own car by using such a system like the one that is developed and that is offered by Vitron.
So what I also hear is that actually communication is of key importance, because you mentioned that the people sometimes have it installed in their car, but they don't use it because they probably don't know well or what it is or how it functions. So do you think that communication campaigns, for example, could help?
Yes, definitely. And this is what I called awareness raising actions. I think that in terms of safety, it's a combination of technology and communication that is efficient. Technology alone doesn't work. Communication alone can be efficient, but not fully. And the combination of both can provide satisfactory results, I believe.
Mathieu, maybe you can tell us more about what the next steps are for Helmond and what the future plans are.
I believe that the next steps are to have the possibility to implement a combination of geofencing and ISA, which would provide, we believe, really interesting results, because it would ensure that the speed limits are met by the vehicles in specific areas, and notably where there are vulnerable road users like schools. So I believe it would be important and also efficient, I would say, in terms of communication of awareness raising for the citizens, especially because it relates to their children.
Yeah, so speaking about the future, children are the right place to start. If we provide them with a clean and safe environment, we allow them, and also us, of course, to live and move more freely and independently around the streets.
Exactly. And while technology for its own sake isn't very helpful, but it can serve to make our cities cleaner and quieter and safer. And if that's the case, then it's well worth doing.
Yes, yeah, I totally agree. But there are still some issues to be solved. So in the case of geofencing, it can only be widely used when maps are all digitized so that the information can be shared with the vehicles. And also when systems in one city or country are available and readable by vehicles from neighboring cities and countries. So as some of us might know, and as I mentioned before, it's confusing and stressful to figure out the foreign road signs while driving in an unfamiliar city. And we actually can expect more regulations in the future.
Yeah, very true. And what I would call a big communications challenge, of course, people need to be made aware of the new system so that they can adapt their habits to it.
And also, vehicles need to be equipped with the appropriate technology so that they can communicate with the geofences and speed is controlled. But as we learned today, that is already in the plans for Europe within the next 3 years until 2024.
With that, I think we'll wrap, and we'd like to say thank you to our colleagues who took time to chat with us and to share their ideas. We've had Josephine Darlington and Rodrigue Afahel from the Lindholm and Science Park in Gothenburg, talking about using geofencing to, among other things, make public transport and deliveries cleaner and safer.
And thank you to Mathieu Grandoge from the city of Helmond and Stephen Herskamp from Breton also from the Netherlands, who are working towards using intelligent speed assistance to increase safety in Helmand.
And that's it for today's episode of Mobility Planet, but we will be back again soon talking about more mobility in cities. Until then, if you'd like to find out more about geofencing in the context of the Reveal or the Closer project, you'll find links and reading materials in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening, and make sure to come back again for upcoming episodes.
Thank you.
This project would not have been possible without the support of the Horizon 2020 program by the European Commission under the Grant Agreement number 815008. Also, check out the Civitas website for information about other cool projects on sustainable mobility.